That was my business partner. Texted me. That's who that was. Road text me, Terry. Hi, everybody. Nice to see you. Good to be back. Man, we got a busy day today. We're pretty like Canada in our content. We're going to talk about Canadian things. Today, we're going to be worldwide, which is really cool. Joining me as always. Please welcome to the program, Lachlan Cross. At Lachlan Cross on Twitter is where you can find him. He calls himself a content expert now.
Do I?
Yeah. You kind of are. Like, you do digital content. You've got your own now. You're a content expert. You've got at least 10,000 hours doing content. You're 35 years in radio or something like that. There's a lot going on.
Hold on. Here's an interesting question for you.
Yeah.
So my wife was like, you got to get business cards. And I'm like, okay. So we were talking and you know what you do? You get business cards and you're supposed to put something on the back, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I'm like, okay. I don't know what to put on the back.
Mm-hmm. Nothing. Why would you put anything on the back?
Well, I don't know. Aren't you supposed to put some bullet points and notes about?
No, why would you do that?
Okay. All right.
No, you just your business. You don't even need business cards. Like, when was the last time you used a business card? When was the last time someone gave you a business card?
Listen.
Yeah, tell Deb I love you, Deb. But no, okay. Business cards are so 1997.
I'm going to pick my battles.
Did she really tell you to get business cards? I can't. You know what? Ask her if you should maybe get business cards and a fax machine while you're at it.
Please do not. Get involved. Okay.
You're making it worse. I love, you know what the great part about starting a new career, a new job when you're married, your wife just wants the very best for you. She believes in you. It's awesome to watch.
Yeah.
But it's like you start doing stuff and then they start having input into how you should do it. And I'm sure it works like that with men and women in relationships, right? Where the other spouse is like, here's what I think you should do without the knowledge of knowing what it is that you're doing, but they mean well. And yeah. The hard part is not being frustrated going, I don't think anybody uses business cards, honey. And to your point, and then you got to pick your battles. You're like, business cards it is. Vistaprint for $4. Let's just get business cards. We'll leave them in the corner. She'll be happy that I got business cards.
That's kind of where I'm at. If we're being honest, thank you for breaking it down.
Yeah, you're welcome. No, I get it. I get it. I remember one time my ex-girlfriend, I wrote an article once on this woman who used OnlyFans to raise like $10 million for the victims of the Australia wildfires. Remember that a couple of years ago?
I do remember that. Yeah.
So yeah, she would like, if you gave her money, she'd send you a nude that she would take for you, any kind of nude you wanted. And like the more greasy the nude, the more money she would make, right? And then the more money the guy would give her. So she raised $10 million. And I thought, wow, good for her. So I write this article on this woman and I include several hundred pictures, right? Because, yeah.
It was a full day.
Full day, yeah. It was a lot of cutting and pasting, a lot of screen grabs, a lot of embedding Instagram hot shots. Maybe did I enroll in her OnlyFans so I could get some of the good stuff? Yeah, did I? For sure I did. So my ex-girlfriend was like, listen, that's disgusting.
You took the introductory membership.
I did. $4.99. But I canceled it like the next day after I wrote the article. So anyway, $4.99. That had over 2 million page views. 2 million page views. Her prediction was I was going to go to jail for being a pervert because I posted so many pictures of her. And I'm like, no, baby. You got to understand. This is going to be a huge hit. She goes, you disgust me. And the next day, when you saw money hit the bank account, because she was like, oh, that was great. Good for you. Great stuff. Yeah, I didn't know what you were doing. Sorry. Anyway, no big deal. And you're like, yeah, I'm not going to go through that again. Anyway, that was over pretty quick.
Yeah. Doop.
I'm that guy that can't be told what to do, right? Yeah. I realize that.
No,
I'm 50 years old.
I've picked up on that.
Yeah.
it's been an underlying theme.
Yeah,
I wonder if Donald Trump has business cards.
Oh, did you hear about his week? So
the Stormy Daniels and then his old lawyer, that lawsuits. in court, right? Like they're hearing that one this week.
Yeah. So Donald Trump's had a tough start to the week. Thanks for bringing it up, Lachlan. Tee up the show. We've got some Elon Musk, Don Lemon, incredible audio to get to because Elon and Don went at it and Elon almost cried. And he basically told everybody, yeah, I'm fucked. So anyway, we'll get to some of that audio in just a few minutes. We've got a couple of other things to get to as well. Donald Trump, we're going to get to that in just a minute too. But and Pornhub, they're canceling porn in different states because they're like, hey, listen, we don't want your driver's license. We don't want to invade your privacy. So Texas is out of porn. We'll talk about that coming up in a minute too. But Donald Trump had a fucking terrible week, and I love it. I love it. I love watching Schadenfreude in action. He actually could not come up with the $494 million that he had to pay E. Jean Carroll and a bond to appeal his civil fraud case where he was found guilty of defaming the woman he was found guilty of raping. And he continued to defame her after he raped her for like 20, 30 years. And she continued to file lawsuits. She continued to win. And because Donald Trump didn't give a shit, and he's like, I'm a billionaire, bitch. He was everybody was like, okay, well, if you're a billionaire, then you owe this woman $464 million. Now, not only can he not pay it, he has gone to, and this was in his deposition. This is fucking hilarious. He went to 30, count them, 30 different financial institutions around the world. Everybody told him to shove off. And they actually put it in the actual affidavit when they said, hey, listen, and the affidavit for Donald Trump in the $464 million bond penalty so we can get this appealed. Because what's happened is he wants to appeal it. Of course he does, because this is what he does. He runs out the clock and appeal. But he can't appeal it unless he puts the money up first, just to make sure if he loses, he's going to pay, right? That's a New York state law.
So he did it with, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he did it with $83 million. Yeah, he did it with the $83 million off the hop when he was found guilty of defaming her the first time. Then she sued him again because he kept defaming her. That amount was $464 million after taxes, after penalties, after late payments. And he had to come up with that Friday, no bueno. His lawyer sent in a letter saying, we'd like to appeal this, but we can't because Donald Trump cannot find $464 million anywhere. Our client is 100% broke. So today, Letitia James, who's the Attorney General of New York, who put the gentleman in this position, is going to start swiping all of his real estate. She's going to take Trump Tower. She's going to take Mar-a-Lago. She's going to take fucking all of it.
And they can go out of state.
Mar-a-Lago's out of state. Yeah. Yeah. It's truly incredible. Like
they can freeze assets.
They cannot. Oh, dude, it's not just freeze assets. They'll walk in there with a sheriff. They'll walk in there with police. Doesn't matter. Whatever. It could be Bedminster. It could be his golf course in Jersey. It could be Doral. It could be Trump National. It can even be out of country. They can seize his assets anywhere they fucking want. Now, here's the other thing. E. Jean Carroll is suing him again because he defamed her at another rally in Ohio the other day. Said he didn't know her. Said she good was
you know what? I like slut. Her.
Oh, wow, she's fucking incredible. So they asked her the other day, they're like, what happens if you become the receiver of any of Donald Trump's properties? E. Jean Carroll Women's Shelter Tower. That's what she would rename Trump Tower as. It's fucking, dude, it's here. It's on. Like, just like it's happening. He is legitimately broke. He has no money. He's done. And they put that in an affidavit. They said, my client's broke. Donald Trump, ladies and gentlemen, not only is not a billionaire, he's broke. He's nothing.
So did anybody think that he was ever going to pay that money though? That's even EJ Carroll said, I saw her in an interview. She's like, oh, I'm not going to see a cent. Uh-huh. She predicted this. So I haven't really been paying that much attention because I also sort of had the sense that he would never in a million years, he'd rather die than give any of his money up.
Yeah.
But I didn't. So so as this story is evolving for me, because I feel like I'm new to it now. Mm-hmm. I'm happier because I'm the guy that's like, okay, he's never going to jail. Remember?
Yeah. Yeah. No, never going to. Yeah. You said that. You've said that for, I don't know how long. Dude is never going to go to jail. He is absolutely 100% probably going to go to jail. I can't say 100% because he could probably make some deal. No, but he could probably make some deal ahead of time.
He's never going to jail.
Where he's like, okay, this man is never. No, I don't know, dude. I think
it's not how the world works.
Maybe.
It isn't.
I kind of want to see it, but I don't give a fuck. I'm just happy watching him go broke. To that point, let me give you some details of Trump being unable to make his $464 million bond in his civil fraud case. This is really important shit. And it gives you some details so you can actually see, oh, okay. So this is a man who has no money. You're correct. He's got no money. Donald Trump cannot find an insurance company to underwrite his bond to cover the massive judgment against him in New York. This is from CNN. According to the attorney general's civil fraud case, his lawyers told a New York appeals court, Trump's attorney said he has approached 30 underwriters to back the bond, which is due by the end of the month. The amount of the judgment with interest exceeds $464 million. This is like that parking ticket that you never pay. But only it's about raping and defaming a woman. Very few bonding companies, they said, will consider a bond of anything approaching that magnitude. Trump's lawyers wrote Trump himself was ordered to pay $454. The $464 includes the disgorgement of his kids, who also defamed the woman, Don Jr. and Eric.
How are they tied into this? Like,
they defamed E. Jean Carroll as well. In video evidence that they played, and they said, hey, listen, she owes us a ton of money. Because they defamed her as well with their dad. So they tacked on another $5 million per dumb kid, right? An insurance agent, Gary Giuletti, who testified for Trump during the civil trial, signed an affidavit stating securing the bond in that full amount is, quote, a practical impossibility. Not possible. Can't do it. Can't find it. Practically impossible. In a post on Truth Social, he claimed the size of the bond is unconstitutional. Last month, you remember, he was ordered to pay that $355. He did pay $83 million, and he plans on appealing the actual first verdict, and he thinks that if that first verdict gets appealed and he wins, which it won't because he's toast, he'll be able to get the second verdict appealed, but he's got to put up the $464 million before he even has a chance to appeal it, right? He put up the original $83 million, which he will lose to E. Jean Carroll because it's literally sitting in an escrow bank.
She is
going to
get some money.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. She's going to get tens of millions of dollars. And depending on what assets of his they actually steal from him, or they abscond from him, or they lift from him to satisfy this judgment, she might get a whole bunch of his fucking golf courses, too. Brilliant. Brilliant.
I love it.
Oh, I love it. I think it's incredible. I think it's awesome. It's Schadenfreude season.
Does this impact his ability to run for president, though?
I think so, because he doesn't have the money he says he does. And so everybody's like, oh, so you're not a billionaire. So we're not backing some kind of billionaire who's just here to wreck the system. Like, that's what a lot of people vote for Donald Trump for, right? A lot of people love those guys. Like, we're in that time, which I love kind of, and I don't love. Like, we're in that time where, you know, you rage against the machine, because I hate the machine too. Like, I hate all politics. I think we're all, you know, marks for businesses that pretend to be parties, that pretend to fucking make your life better. I don't disagree with the incels and the weirdos and Elon Musk when it comes to that stuff. Speaking of which, did you see Elon Musk and Don Lemon yesterday? You see any of this interview?
I have this thing when it comes to awkward interviews.
Mm-hmm.
I've sent you the interview that Jimmy did with the
dude
guitar player from Cheap Trick, right? Rick Nielsen. And that is hands down one of the worst interviews I've ever heard a human being do on the radio in my life. And
Which makes it one of the best, actually.
I must have listened to that numerous times, but it was because I enjoyed what Jimmy was going through, right? And
you mean like extreme failure in the moment?
Yes. And so that brought joy to me, right?
Yeah, me too.
But this interview, even the short clips that I saw them playing on the news yesterday were just, it's so painful,
uncomfortable.
I had a hard time with it.
You see, and I'm the opposite. I'm that dude that likes to slow down for this kind of stuff. It's like, I got to watch all of it. I got to see how uncomfortable people are. I got to see what they're doing in the moment.
Do you watch videos of people like falling off skateboards and like hitting fences with their nuts? 100%.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, see, I have a hard time with those as well.
I know you do. It's because you're nice. I'm like, you give off the impression you're not nice. You're incredibly nice. I am not a nice person. I still laugh at those things. It's why I find Love on the Spectrum absolutely the best show on television. That's why I know I'm not a good person. So Don Lemon, and we talked about this last week, Don Lemon sat down with Elon Musk for an interview. Now, this was supposed to be his first interview as one of X's premier reporters. You know how Elon hired Tucker Carlson, right? Yes.
And he was trying to balance the waters.
Yeah, he's trying to balance the waters. He's like, ooh, we do have a lot of crazy fuckers here. We got a lot of hate speech here. We got a lot of irresponsible assholes here. Ooh, we got a lot of Putin fans here. Yeah, maybe we need to bring over some gay black guy who has the ability to offer something up to the other side. That's really why he put Don Lemon on his network. So they signed a deal like 2 months ago, right, for a whole bunch of interviews and stuff. His first interview is going to be with Elon. It's going to be open. It's going to be honest. And this news of him working at X, like, literally flew over my head. I didn't even know it was happening until Don Lemon's like, have we got an interview for you with Elon Musk? And then the next day, Elon fires him before the interview even comes out. Well, the interview came out on Don's YouTube channel. It's all over X, and it is fucking awesome.
It's not awesome.
It's about an hour and 6 minutes. You go to Don Lemon on Twitter, and I'll give Elon a little bit of credit. He actually left it up. Like, he's the kind of guy that would torque all this, and he would burn it, and he would de-boost replies, and he would de-boost monetization. Nah, this shit is out there, and it's pretty far-ranging. And what I get out of this is his emotional state, but I want to get to a couple of these clips. Now, I don't know if anybody has ever asked Elon about the racist stuff on his platform and some of the racism that he deals with and some of the stuff that he purports.
It's coming.
And I do not like Don Lemon. I don't. I think he's one of those guys that's just fucking way out there on the left. Like, he's far, far, far too progressive for me, where he like
he's looks a little, things to piss. You use this off word all the time. He's a little performative.
Yeah, he's performative with his
Why did he get shit canned from
apparently he's a super diva.
CNN.
Yeah, apparently he's a super diva. He's like, he's moved to do the morning show. Yeah, yeah. And then he got moved to the morning show and he's like, I don't like getting up in the morning. Like,
do you want to? Well, do you want to talk about awkward? Did you see any of those morning show clips?
Yeah, that was one of the worst television shows in history. He was just like,
he's
like the angry progressive version of Elon Musk.
Was there a version of like a story where he like, I don't know, told the makeup artist off or something? Or
there's stories. Is there about something like that? Being a dick to his co-host, Caitlin Collins and Brianna Keeler, I guess. Yeah, yeah, there's lots of stories like that. But anyway, so who cares? It's just, he's a dick too. He's one of those really lucky, rich dicks. Like, he treats people like shit. And he thinks he's going to score, right? So he gets his job with Elon. Elon says, yeah, I'll give you $2 million a year to do that job. And then he's like, I'll give you a Cybertruck. And then he's like, I'll give you a percentage of the platform. And now Don's like, okay, you fired me. I've still got this interview. You still owe me all that stuff. And the people at X, Elon and his friends, leaked what Don asked for with the Cybertruck and a share of the platform. And now he's getting his ass kicked online too, right? You see, the people think he's greedy, which he is. I mean, like, these guys are all greedy assholes. They're just trying to keep their place in greedy line. Anyway, here's the first clip. I want to play it for you. It's very awkward. This has to be the first time I've ever seen anybody challenge Elon on some of the racist content that he purports to put out and that he helps with.
There's a handful of interviews. This is different. This is on a different scope, though. There's a handful of interviews where Elon, and I've seen them, where Elon Musk gets asked something he does not feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
And he shuts down. What's interesting about this, and I mean, obviously, this is 2 minutes of an hour long interview. But what's interesting for me is that, anyway, play it, and I'll.
Yeah, this is Don and Elon on racism. We've got three clips to play, so hang in there, settle in, grab your popcorn, grab your coffee. This is one of the great interviews. You can get all of this where we get your fine podcast, Dean Blundell Show on YouTube, Cryer Media on YouTube, Cryer.co. Let's watch the first clip. This is Don, racism with Elon.
Do you have any desire to understand what many people of color and even trans people, how they feel about this country and how they're treated in this country. If they say and they believe that they are treated a certain way in this country, why don't you believe them?
You cannot have a situation where someone is a self-described victim, and they just get to be that because that's how they feel.
I think that does happen in some cases, but not all cases. I think that not understanding the history of the country, I think, is a real shame. Look, I've had incredible opportunities as a person of color.
Right.
But I've also But I've also been discriminated against, and I know that I have. And I know that that's real. And for someone to say that that isn't happening, I should just move forward and not think about that and ignore the past, is insulting.
I'm not saying it. Don, you keep putting words in my mouth. I'm not saying
I didn't say that you said it.
I'm saying that we want to, we as a country should move beyond questions of race and gender, and we should treat people like individuals and base our opinions on them, on the, you know, their character and their skills.
I don't think that anyone will disagree with that.
Exactly.
All I'm saying is that that's not happening and is not equal for everyone. That those opportunities don't happen for everyone. And I am a living example that they don't. I know that they don't because I live it.
You've been incredibly successful.
I have been, spite of it all. But I know what I know. I've experienced what I've experienced. You haven't done that. And I cannot... I don't know what it's like to be from South Africa. I don't know what it's like to be a white man. I don't know what it's like to be a woman. I don't know what it's like to be a Latino mm-hmm. person. I don't know that. So I wouldn't speak for them and just say, you need to move on. That's not for me to say. I believe that the country, it would be great if the country could live up to that ideal.
Yeah, that seems like a nice little start to the interview, right? Seems like a nice little foray into a conversation where he's like, hey, do you not understand that black people that have been discriminated against, black people, Hispanics, trans people, gay people that got catcalled and yelled at and told that they're not welcome? Do you not understand, like, which has happened to Don? And he's like, because he's black. And of course, it's happened to Don. It's happened to all black people. Do you understand that we don't like being told just to move past it? Like, we'd like to talk about it so we can be
get over it.
Yeah. And Elon's like, yeah, whatever, get over it.
It's time to move on. That happened a long time ago.
All right, everybody. Listen, I just need everyone to know I'm ready to move past all my racism, and so should you. And you're just going to have to accept it while we move past it. And I'm going to continue doing what I do.
Racism's way different now. You should be able to deal with it now.
Racism is the new inclusive. Hey, listen, I've already moved past all my racism and all the world's racism for thousands of years. It's different now. Lachlan said it. It's totally different. Racism is the new inclusiveness.
It's way easier to take. Okay, so
you know what I heard from that? You know what I heard in that interview from Elon? Oh, this is legitimately all I heard. You guys should be used to it by now.
Well, okay. Can I just talk about the dynamics between the
two?
You
guys have to be used to racism by now. I mean, it's been 2,000 years of us making fun of you people. Get over it. That's what he just said.
You're
get
playing the it. Victim here.
He did. He said it. He's like, what is it with all you victims and your race? He's like, yeah. You talking?
Jesus. Okay. So here's my like outside looking in on that interview. Again, I don't want to pretend that I understand how that thing was set up and why it was set up. But I do get the impression that on some level, Elon Musk must know that his views and his stance on stuff is considered whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And listen, I also get the idea that people in his life that can make an impact on how he does things by sitting him down and going, all right, Elon, when you smoked weed with Rogan, it did this. Okay. So maybe don't do that again. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And then there's probably other examples of things that have happened with him. If you get caught in a picture in Germany,
in a Scheisser house
with a gag ball, right. That's going to have
a negative impact
on this. Right. So please don't do that. So the Tucker Carlson interview for sure had a negative impact on his massive companies. I think I think you said it before we got started. He owns three of the biggest companies in the world. There's a lot of people that are tied to the things that he says, and he can jeopardize the success of those company, and thousands, if not more, people are impacted. Their lives are impacted by the stupid shit that he does. So
keep in mind that guy that owns the three most profitable companies, most expensive companies, maybe two of the most important companies in the world, just basically told everybody that's been marginalized due to racism to get over it.
As always, the Dean Blundell Show is brought to you by our friends at factcheck.io. Factcheck.io. Do you believe? The good people at FactCheck are a quorum of software professionals, psychological professionals, journalists that have been very busy building some software so that you can fact check anything that you read. It doesn't matter if it's got a URL, you'll be able to fact check it. Alternative sources, origins, whether or not it was an organic or inorganic campaign, whether or not you can trust the people that are putting out the information, and alternative sources. And there's going to be a weapon button too, where you can turn that information around and put it back out there accurately to combat disinformation. The good people at factcheck.io are right now testing their beta version of their free program. Yes, it will be free for anybody who wants to use it. They want to battle disinformation because it is a problem. Go to factcheck.io today. FACTCHEK.io. FACTCHEK.io. The world's most robust fact-checking disinformation software for news, social media, video, print, anything spoken word. These people are on the tip. And they use some of the finest software technology to be able to give you the advantage when it comes to getting agency back in your life, when it comes to information that you read. Go to factcheck.io today for more information. Sign up for their beta test, FACTCHEK.io. The Dean Blundell Show is brought to you by factcheck.io. Factcheck.io, makers of the world's most comprehensive fact-checking software, that have been very busy building some software so that you can fact check anything that you read. It doesn't matter if it's got a URL, you'll be able to fact check it. Alternative sources, origins, whether or not it was an organic or inorganic campaign, whether or not you can trust the people that are putting out the information so that you can give yourself agency over information in the age of disinformation. Again, want to beta test their product? They're going to launch it in the next month or two. Go to factcheck.io today. FACTCHEK. .io. Back to the show.
Yeah, you're
that's comforting, isn't it? That's
so great. Anyway, I think what ended up happening was somebody came up with the idea, like you said, to put Don Lemon on that platform, and it probably wasn't Elon.
No.
So he did this and made this move begrudgingly because Elon Musk, I also get the sense, doesn't like to be told that he's wrong.
By a black guy?
By anybody. By
especially
anybody.
Especially a black guy. Especially a black, woke, gay dude. Like, that's the thing that makes this interview so incredible, is that Elon rails against the LGBTQ community. Like, rails. Yes. Elon rails against the trans movement. Elon rails against anybody. Elon believes in cultural Marxism, which is, I'll get to that another day, which is cultural Bolshevism, which in essence is just a Nazi talking point. It's an anti-Semitic talking point. And so he's got
he has said some things that sort of align himself with a far right white supremacist sort of view that white people are losing control of the world that we live in.
Correct. Yes. Thank you, Lachlan. You're back.
He has leaned into that narrative a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's railing it.
Oh, he's railing it at this point. I'll play a clip where he rails.
So he doesn't like to be told what to do. No. So now now on top of it, they're like, hey, I know you don't like this idea, but let's sit you down with Don and do an interview.
Sit you down with Don Lemon, the most progressive black gay journalist in the history of journalism. And they're like, that sounds good. Let's give him a Cybertruck part of
I will never watch that full hour.
Here's a clip. Oh, dude, I watched the whole thing this morning. It was fucking phenomenal. Here's a clip, and I want to play this for you. You know how Boeing's going through their things where doors are flying off and whistleblowers are dying and planes are crashing because they're like, yeah, we cut a bunch of corners. So Elon Musk has been tweeting for the past like 72 hours incessantly about DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and this old thing called affirmative action, diversity, equity, inclusion, meaning let's hire people with other colors. Let's make sure we're not just hiring white people. Let's make sure we're bringing in, let's make sure we're not just enrolling white students in this university. Let's make sure we're giving everybody, no matter where you're from, an equal opportunity to come in.
And he's of the belief.
He's of the belief that affirmative
action. The best people win.
He's of the belief that all these planes are going down, and this is fucking the new conspiracy from the right, and I love it. I think it's just awesome. James Lindsay talked about this on Rogan the other day, and I started dying laughing. He's like, China has got a new airplane, and they want to kill Boeing. So for the past, I don't know how many years, they've been making sure that affirmative action and diversity, equity, and inclusion are part of some of these companies so that they can hire black people who aren't very good at their jobs, who are not as regulated, who are not.
Someone said this out loud.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is with Don Lemon and Elon Musk repeating those same things. And then I believe Don puts up a couple of tweets and says, hey, do you plan on taking these down? Watch this with me.
My doctors have bad medical care. I'm trying to understand your logic here when it comes to DEI, because there's no actual evidence of what you're saying.
No, I said, so if the standards, like let's say, I think that particular thing was referring to surgeons. Let's say a surgeon in training is asked to do a series of operations under the supervision of a senior surgeon, and they get a bunch of those operations wrong. If that happens, and yet they are still approved to be a surgeon, the probability that someone will die, I think, at some point is high.
Okay, I understand that, but that's a hypothetical. That doesn't mean it's happening.
I didn't say it's happening.
You didn't say it was happening.
I said it will. I said if we lower standards, people will die.
Do you get that part? Do you understand that? Do you understand what he's saying there? He's saying that that diversity, equity, and inclusion, meaning this is the conspiracy in the alt-right arena. The Elon Musk, the James Lindsay's, the Jordan Petersons, the Joe Rogans, all of those guys that he is deeply involved in, they are now peddling this conspiracy theory that diversity, equity, and inclusion, meaning giving everybody, no matter where they're from, equal opportunity, including in the medical profession, is bad because certain people of certain color need that lift because they're not as smart or as good as other people in the medical field. Like, I mean, it is as fucking plain as day there.
They are gaining opportunities in the workforce based on this new initiative in North America.
It's not a new initiative. It's like it used to be called affirmative action. And now it's been around for equity inclusion. Yeah.
But okay, so based on the fact that we have this and that people are getting jobs that they shouldn't be getting ahead of other people,
well,
just
that's what
because
he's saying
of their color
and
their race.
Right. He's leaving out whether or not they're qualified. He's leaving out, you know, their test scores. He's leaving out whether or not they're good doctors, lawyers, et cetera. He's just operating under this broad generalization that diversity, equity, and inclusion, meaning giving everybody an equal opportunity, no matter the color of their skin, where they're from, their sexual preference, how tall they are, all that other shit, is the end result is all the failure you are seeing in the world today.
We are ignoring the fact that there's a possibility that people of color have been passed up for opportunities based.
Yeah. We're glazed over that. Don addresses
it. Glazed over that.
Yeah. Let's watch again.
All right.
But why respond to something or put something out there that has not happened? Because I could say,
I don't want it to happen. I think we don't want to lower standards.
Okay. If you look at the history of the medical industry, especially when it comes to black Americans, it shows the exact opposite. If you look at the Tuskegee experiment and on, only 5% of doctors in America are black. All of them are white. So are you saying that if the majority of doctors are white, are you saying that and there are still these inequities, right? And there are still mistakes. Are you blaming DEI for that?
No, I'm very, very, very basically saying that if we lower standards for what it takes to become a board certified surgeon or an oncologist or something.
Do you get that? You get that? He's automatically assuming that you lower standards for people of color. That's just his assumption.
That where the
I don't think that's happening. We're talking is about, it?
If you no. make a mistake, causes okay. someone to die, then there more people will die than if we don't lower the standards. Therefore, we should not lower the standards.
But why do you think they're lowering the standards for minority doctors or women doctors or?
That's what the audit, that's what that article suggested. Yes, at Duke University.
Okay, the evidence that I have shows that that's not true. Okay. So listen, after the door blew off this mid-flight miss Alaskan Airlines,
yeah, here
do you remember that? You responded to a post claiming that the average HBCU grad was less intelligent than the average airline pilot and stated that it will take an airline crashing, an airplane crashing and killing hundreds of people for them to change this crazy policy of DIE. I don't know if you, did you misspell it on purpose, which should be DEI. Do you believe that women and minority pilots are inherently less intelligent and less skilled than white male pilots?
No, I'm just saying that we should not lower the standards for them.
Okay.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
He is trying to wheel him down a path.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, he's got his like divining arrows, like you know those losers that look for water with two sticks.
Yeah.
He's literally divining him into like. But he brings up a good
I'm
point.
I'm not defending. I'm not no. defending Elon Musk. But no. I mean,
you
come
see
on.
What Don's trying to do. He's good at it. Don't right? shoehorn him into the woke like, hey, what's your problem? Bullshit, right? But yeah. To his point, let me just bring this up, and I agree with you. I don't like Don Lemon. I think he's performative at best sometimes.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, and this is what Elon said: those things he blamed DIE for the Boeing crashes. So, and now he's saying, no, it's all about regulations. Well, and that's why Don is incredulous at this point. He's like, well, that's
well,
kind of not
Dean,
what you said.
We
you
all like, know literally. That men are smarter than women, right? Like,
dude, that is absolutely 100% untrue. I only hire women at this point. I refuse to work with dumb men. Let's watch the rest of this because it gets better.
And men are funnier.
There's no evidence that standards are being lowered when it comes to the okay. airline industry.
You've repeatedly said that there's no evidence that standards are being lowered, and watch the replies showing all the evidence that it is.
Replies, though, on social media or on Twitter are not necessarily fact and evidence. No, that's people's
they,
opinion.
They will cite okay. all the replies. We'll in the replies to this, you will see how often the information is cited showing that, indeed, there are significant cases where standards are lowered.
And I do hope that happens. I do yes. hope that happens, and I look forward to it. And as you said, if you're wrong, then you're wrong, and if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong.
Yes.
Okay, so and I'm glad we're having this conversation debating. This is what we should be doing, debating the
no,
issue. So right. if I'm wrong,
you're
then I'm wrong.
You're flop-sweating, Don. You're stuck. Not happy
but I just
about
want to take up that pilot.
He's suck-holding to his boss right there, because at this time, Elon was still his boss. So Don is not being aggressive. He's just trying to, I'm sorry if I'm asking the wrong question, sir. I'm sorry. And look at Elon's face. Ugh. He's like, yeah, you fucking better be sorry. Because I wasn't prepared.
He
to
is not.
Honest.
This is awful. This is no, awful
it's,
TV.
It's
I'm
perfect.
Sorry.
It's unbelievable television. You can watch it with These us on two. Our YouTube channel, Cryer Media, or Dean Blundell Show. You can also listen to Ugh. It anywhere you get your fine podcast.
I'm
you by
sweating.
Cantwerk.ca. Oh, no, we're not done. Because it gets greasier.
Talked about, in fact, was a woman pilot, landed the plane safely, despite the major malfunction with the equipment. Boeing has taken responsibility for that incident, saying that it was caused by a faulty door panel. So I'm not sure what that had to do with lowering the standards for pilots when it was a faulty.
No, it's not lowering standards for pilots. It's the incentive structure, I believe, at Boeing changed to include DEI as a fundamental executive incentive. In my view, it should be purely about passenger safety.
Okay, but do you understand how by saying just that standards are being lowered, that you're implying that they're being lowered because people are less skilled and less intelligent, and you're talking about people of color and or women?
Look, I'm saying we should not lower standards.
But do you?
Yeah.
Oh, he's in the corner. He's in the corner. You've all been in those conversations. We've all had those, right? Where you go into your boss's office or you're on the hot seat and you know that you've done something wrong and all the people know that you've done something wrong. And they're asking you these questions Socratically. Like, do you know? Do you understand this? Do you get this? And he's like, it's about something else. We've all been in those meetings. I've been that guy. I've been Elon Musk. I've been on the hot seat where it's like, I can only tell you that you're wrong. I can only tell you that I don't agree with you. And that has to be a good enough answer, but it's still not a good enough answer, right? Because we have literally thousands of receipts of him saying, Black people, women, trans people, they're not as good as white men at anything. So, I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible to watch. I want to get to one more clip. Hang on a second. I want to get to one more clip. And the clip that I have is, I think it's the definitive clip from this interview in Elon. And it's one
this
of those
is towards the end, right?
Yeah, yeah. And they get a little hot with each other. They get a little, and it's 2 minutes and 56 seconds. So bear with me. I'm going to play the whole thing because it is awesome.
Both of them are not good at conflict. Like,
no, not at all. Like Elon gets like, all emotionally triggered. Like I'd be able to sit
be
in
honest.
Interview. I'd be able to sit in that interview across from him now. I wouldn't then. And be able to conduct an interview calmly, squarely, asking him questions.
Yeah, me too.
But Don can't. I don't know if he's been out of the game for a long time, but Don can't. And Elon is like nervous system overload. You can see him in this next clip.
Look how red he is.
Not only get angry, but basically tell Don, you're on the fucking clock now. You've asked me too many personal questions, and I'm tired of it. This question has to do with him destroying Twitter's value to the tune of $30 billion over the past couple of years. Don said, hey, you own it. Is this not your responsibility? Ooh, wrong question. Wrong.
So you said if they kill the company, it's them. But doesn't the buck stop with you? I mean, you're
Don, I have to say, choose your question carefully. There's 5 minutes left.
So
is this the question you want to ask?
Same question is you said that they are killing the company, but you're the head of the company. The buck doesn't stop with you?
Yeah.
I acquired X in order to preserve freedom of speech in America, the First Amendment.
He's got his talking points.
And I'm going to stick to that.
Mm-hmm.
And if that means making less money, so be it.
Oh, he's a hero now.
So I have to be, listen, I'm just being honest, right? I'm not trying to, like, get you or anything.
Yeah, you are.
I was just surprised that you would blame other people
guilty.
For killing the company. I mean, wouldn't you say the buck stops with the president of the United States regardless of what happens, right? So why would that question upset you? You seem upset by it, are you?
I think you're...
And I'm not trying to upset you.
Well, you are upsetting me because the way you're phrasing the questions, I think, is not cogent.
It's not what?
Not cogent.
Cogent.
Yes.
Go ahead.
If given a choice where an advertiser is saying, like, you have to censor all this content on the platform, irrespective of where their advertising appears, then our answer will be like, look, you can choose where you want your advertising, what you want your advertising to appear next to, but you can't insist on censorship of the entire platform. And if you insist on censorship of the entire platform, even where your advertising doesn't appear, obviously, we will not.
Oh my God!
Want
awesome.
Them as an advertiser.
So what would you say to advertisers
your
to
idea of
who
awesome
have left the platform or
awesome.
Who
I'm worried
are considering
about
coming back or not coming back? What would you like to say to them?
Well, first of all, almost all of our advertisers are coming back to the platform. So it's a very short list of advertisers who are not coming back to the platform. Our advertising revenue is rising rapidly. And our subscription revenue is rising rapidly, and I feel very optimistic about the future of the X platform.
Okay. Listen, I'm honestly, I'm not meaning to offend you. You're an intense person.
Where does that
intensity
come from? I'm so sorry.
I was born that way. And I had a tough childhood.
You did?
So, yeah.
He's
how
done.
So?
He is so done.
All right, Walter Isaacson goes into it in the book, and we only have a couple minutes left, so.
All right.
Too long to describe. The one or two questions I can do, and then
exhausting.
We'll call it.
Okay. Again, I don't mean to upset you. Why are you just...
You crying,
you're
bro?
You're a dick, Don.
No, I have a whole room full of people waiting to meet with me.
Okay.
So we're just going over time.
Okay. All right, I understand.
Dude, that's awesome.
Something?
Yeah, I'm sure. Listen, I know that you are triggered by this.
Yeah, I'm very bothered
by it. Watching the world's richest lunatic not be able to control his emotions, not be able to actually have a conversation, revert back to talking points, and still get angry. That man, as you pointed out, is done. Like, I can't see that dude going another year to 2 years without having some kind of fucking crazy nervous breakdown. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No. And me, you know what? That's a probably a very viable prediction with regards to Elon. I'll say this. Okay. When you are put in a situation, and I've had them, you've had them, where you're in a room with somebody that you don't necessarily agree with. I think your strategy isn't to hang this person out to dry, which is what Don did. And I think that Don, if you and I were interviewing Elon Musk, we would have handled that very differently. I think we would have given him an opportunity to express his point. I don't think that Don was giving him that. And the way he phrased the questions, he knew already where Elon was going to go. So he was already sewering him before Elon had a chance to speak. And I think that's part of the reason why Elon was so angry. And I just... See, Don was being defensive, and this has happened to me before, where I'm trying to get something out of an interview, but I'm also, for some reason, I've got it in my mind that I need to prove a point about where my position is, and that's the wrong thing to do. It happened to me when I interviewed a guy that wanted to separate Alberta from Canada and join the United States. And
you got didn't you?
I did. And I told him before he even got in, I said, listen, whatever the hell this guy's name was,
his name was Terry. Legit.
It was Terry. Oh my God. It was Terry. Why is it always Terry?
It's always Terry.
So anyway, before we even cracked the mics, mm-hmm. I told him, and before he even came down to the radio station, I said to him, I said, listen, I don't agree with you. I need you to know that before we get into it. And he brought some guy in from Mexico that wasn't even Canadian. It's a long story. And I was so triggered and angry right out of the gates that all the questions that I asked were confrontational.
Yeah.
I was just trying to make this guy look dumb.
Sure.
And I did it on purpose. And when I finished with it, which was not my point, I was so embarrassed about what I had done that I didn't even want to air it. And I think I called you and I think I sent it to you and said, what do I do with this?
Yeah. You play it.
And I was like, no, I can't.
But that's the issue. You know how many people have that issue in those moments where you think that conflict could happen or something to go sideways, as opposed to just letting it play out and watching it and using what someone does to your benefit? Like, that's what Don tried to do. You could see in the interview. Now, I am no interview master, although I'm not bad at it. I can tell you that if you go into an interview, you go into like anything where you think there's going to be conflict, and you go into an interview like that, like if you're Don Lemon or if you're Elon Musk, where your temperature is here before you even start asking those questions, everything's going to be defensive. You're going to go back to talking points, and you're going to make yourself look like a fucking moron. You're going to look like an emotional idiot. You're going to sit there and everybody's going to...
Don screwed that interview up.
And that's the thing.
I think he did.
I know what he was trying to do. He was trying to shoehorn him into certain things, but the evidence is there for the shoehorning. Like, you could actually ask him, anybody should be asking him these questions. And these are kind of the questions I would ask him, but I wouldn't ask him like that. I wouldn't go, I'm so sorry. I would just say, hey, dude, tell me about this. Like, how do you arrive at DEI?
Exactly.
How do you arrive at Boeing? How do you arrive at affirmative action? Tell me how you got there. And then you can have that conversation. But that, to your point, isn't what Don was doing. But those questions are legitimate questions. Now, last clip I want to play for you.
Oh, good. There's another one.
There's one more. Yeah,
I was really hoping when we finished the last one, I was like, oh, I really hope Dean has a fourth clip.
I do. Yeah. This one is even more uncomfortable because, as you know, Elon has been very public about his ketamine use, right? And how much he likes to party. He says it helps him instead of using
ketamine is also used for depression.
Totally. Says he uses it for negative thought things in his brain, which he now admits is depression. And listen, I am a big proponent of mushrooms, ketamine, LSD.
Yeah.
I don't use it, I don't do it, but I get it as alternative therapy and it is legitimate. So
PTSD especially.
But he's the guy that's been singing about ketamine. Like he's the guy that's been talking about how he loves doing ketamine. It's a lot of fun. I go to parties on ketamine. I take ketamine for therapeutic reasons as well, and it really helps me. And I like when he was talking about it before, I thought, oh, he's got a prescription for it. And he might not. I don't know. I don't know his ketamine use, but he was asked about it and he got triggered again.
I don't think there was anything once they got that far into that interview though, which was about 3 minutes
already.
I don't think there was any hope of redemption on either. Like again, and I like, listen, my take on this, I'd only seen a couple of clips.
Yeah.
And now that you've shown me more of this, Don needs to own a lot of what happened here. And I bet you he does. Cause I know Don, he's a smart guy.
But dude, here's the thing is all of these questions, the entire interview was vetted.
But it's how he framed them.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. Like,
I'm going to disagree with you on this, man. He really, he booted
this. Then Elon should not have sat down for this.
No, he knew that this would be a
problem. He shouldn't have sat down for this, but
they both sat down to do this interview for the wrong reasons. Both of them.
Yeah, money and reputation. That's it.
There was absolutely, everything was wrong.
Yeah. Anyway, this is the clip about Elon and Don, and Don's like, so do you tweet on ketamine, fella? Do you tweet?
But you've admitted that you have a ketamine prescription.
Yeah.
What's that for?
Well, I mean, that's pretty private to ask somebody about a medical prescription, you know. I think it's something I'd say, like, there are times when I have a negative chemical state in my brain, like depression, I guess, you know, or depression that's not linked to any negative views, and then ketamine is helpful for getting one out of a negative frame of mind.
Well, listen,
I generally, you know, obviously I'm not a doctor, but I would say if someone has depression issues, they should consider talking to their doctor about ketamine instead of SSRIs.
Listen,
SSRIs, by the way, are anti-depression drugs. That's what they are. And the other part is that, you know, he tweets about how much ketamine he uses, how much he loves ketamine, how it's helped him. And then he gets asked about it on the Ultimate Freedom of Speech platform, which he said he's curating. And he said, that's private. I don't want to talk about it. And then he starts fucking singing about it. And then he starts advocating for it against Western medicine. Like, dude is not normal. That's not normal.
I will say, before you start the clip back again, Dean.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have heard, and I don't know anything about it, but I have heard proponents of ketamine for the use of depression.
Sure.
From multiple people.
You know what? One of my favorite neuroscientists is studies the same philosophy I do, Stoicism. His name's Sam Harris. And he's a big psychedelics fan. But he's also a works fan. I think that they both come hand in hand, right? Like you do the psychology, the psychiatry, the counseling. You do the perspective stuff, you do the work of CBT, but you can also rewire your brain at the same time and be honest in those things with ketamine, LSD, or mushrooms in some cases. Like that's what the studies are showing. I don't have a problem with his ketamine use.
But you can also
I have a problem with him talking about his ketamine use ad nauseum, then getting asked about it in an interview, and then being all pissy about it, and then singing about it.
Yeah, 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 totally. I think it's hypocritical. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
That ketamine and drug therapy is increasingly becoming more in the mainstream.
Yeah.
Do you think you're doing it under a doctor's care, right?
Yeah, yeah. Literally a prescription from an actual, a real doctor, not like, you know.
Yeah, but do you feel like you ever abuse it?
I don't think so. If you use too much ketamine, you can't really get work done. So I have a lot of work. So I'm typically putting in like, you know, 16-hour days. That's normal for me. And it's rare for me to even take off a weekend day. So I don't really have like, you know, a situation where I can be not mentally acute for an extended period of time. Like I can't really get wasted because I can't get my work done.
So how often do you take it?
Well, it'd be like a small amount once every other week or something like that.
There you go. That's probably not true, but whatever. I mean, who cares? Who cares if he does ketamine? That's my point. He gets all pissy about the whole thing. Anyway.
Yeah, no, but again, I think that there's so much wrong with that whole interview that, and I just want to be careful because if you are dealing with depression, listen, Elon Musk should, he's got to stop trying to be a spokesperson for anything. Like it's the wrong thing for that man to do. Like, why can't he be like all the other billionaires and just hide in the corners and then think they're doing all these things?
Yeah, like do your ketamine in private. Don't talk about your ketamine.
Yeah. I don't think I think at some point maybe he'll become aware of the fact that he is not going to be a good spokesman for certain things and he should walk away.
I love how somebody in his listen, I'm not a doctor at all, but you should all start using ketamine for depression instead of taking a doctor's advice. Like,
Dude, that's where I want to be careful because if you are in a situation where you're looking for an alternative to whatever drug, because there are certain drugs that don't work for some people, right? Sure. And maybe ketamine might be the thing that actually fixes whatever issues you're dealing with. And so that's why I have a problem with it is because if somebody is at a point, like a very serious point in their life, with depression and ketamine is the answer.
And they run to some guy on the street that sells Special K and then they start doing it. And they're like, why am I not getting better? That's what they'll start doing. Right.
But I do want to make sure that that people don't not explore an alternative option. If it is something they should be exploring because of an interview that Don Lemon did with Elon Musk, right?
It's the same thing behind all the Rogan stuff and the medical stuff. Like, these guys are so powerful. These guys are so influential that there are certain things you just
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm about to go jump in an ice bath.
That works, actually. The Wim Hof stuff, the ice bath stuff, it actually works.
Okay, see now.
No, seriously. It's like a breathing thing. You breathe, 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 breathe. Wim Hof, have you not done it? You got to Google Wim Hof. Then you go sit in an ice bath and you're like, why am I not freezing to death? And the reason why you're not freezing to death is because you did the Wim Hof breathing exercises and it actually works. Anyway.
It's not going to put 10 years on my life and my testosterone isn't going to go through the roof because I ice bath before I work out.
That is true.
Okay.
That is true. Right.
And that's where I think everyone needs to be. You know, I made the mistake of making not an anti-comment about ice baths in front of somebody who is like, believes 100% that this is the best thing that you can do for and everybody should be doing an ice bath every day. And I remember the look on this man's face was like, he was instantly angry with me. So I, instead of doing what Don Lemon did and spent another 50 minutes, like telling him what I don't know to piss him off, I went, all right, yeah. You know what? Maybe I'll try
it. That's great. You have to try it. Have you not tried it? Have you not tried an ice bath yet? You get that uncomfortable for like 3 to 5 minutes. It actually changes you. It changes your system. You're like, I can do that. And then you start thinking you're capable of other things. It's psychosomatic more than anything else, but it actually does work. It's not about your breathing. It's about breathing to put you in a situation where you can deal with something really, really hard. And it takes you out of your negative thought process. And then you get in there and you're focused on your heart and your breathing.
But it does not increase your testosterone.
No, it does. It increases your testosterone. It gives you a bigger wiener too. Anyway, speaking of wieners, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the locker room replay of the day brought to you by your good friends at Ardent Roofing Systems, Lachlan Cross.
Yes, this one is, well, it's a clip. We asked a question we probably shouldn't have asked on the air. And then we got a response that everybody in the room was uncomfortable with. And a response that I think everybody listening, I'm not going to play the whole thing, but if you need to watch it, I just put it out on all my social media so you can go have a look at it and listen to the whole thing. But then we got a response that I think everyone didn't want to hear as well. All right. The locker room retro replay of the day. Like Dean said, brought to you by Arden Roof Systems.
The Lock Retro.
Why isn't it playing?
How many times do you wank it there in it a is. Day?
Depends on the day.
On a good day.
Depends on the weather.
On a normal, I'd say it average four.
I thought you were going to say six.
Four a day? Average. An average, because sometimes it's more on the weekends because,
How have you not pulled it off?
Hey, it's a talent.
As a skill.
Four a day. And that's the average.
That's if I'm sober. If I'm drinking,
Stop.
You're like Liam Neeson.
I can tell you I don't have money, but what I do have are a very particular set of skills.
Jesus, Jimmy. You need to see somebody about this. No wonder you never get anything done. Before we get going, I have a serious question for you, Jimmy. And I don't need you to make...
Okay, now this is really awkward. And I'm not going to play the whole thing. This is one of those shows
where like a guy on the show drops a really embarrassing piece of information he doesn't think is embarrassing because it's just normal to him. And then you guys can't get over it. So that piece of information
the whole show.
The entire show. Yeah, okay, good. I love these shows.
Okay, so that... So now, exactly... Yeah. So that was the Friday morning, and it was the topic, which we usually did in the 6 o'clock hour. I went back and listened to that whole show. We brought it up almost every break until 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Masturbating. Yeah, masturbation. Masturbating too much. And welcome.
Because I couldn't get over the fact that he thought that it was completely normal to rip one off four times a day.
I don't even know how you make that much time.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
So anyway, on Monday, we come back and the first break is me talking about, because we posted it on social media and then everyone just started like hammering the post with this guy's got a problem. Like he should probably look into getting some help, right? Like he's a compulsive masturbator.
Yeah. At that point, you'd start wondering if maybe it was an issue. Like, you know, if you're giving it a yank 4 to 6 times a day, maybe on weekends more. That verges into addiction. That verges into the dude needs a masturbatory intervention. That's what that verges into.
And then, again, the clip goes on to, we started reading things from online about the possibility that he had a sex addiction. And he was like, I'm not letting it interfere with how my day-to-day life.
How do you not? It's fucking 4 times a day.
Like his big thing was, I came to work today. I wasn't late because I had to rip one off.
No, that's aggressive though. Like 4 to 6 times a day. Like I don't even have, everybody loves sexual health. Everybody does. Everybody. Doesn't matter who you are. Some people, the androgynous folks, maybe not. Maybe some of the people out there, they're like, I'm not motivated by it, not interested in it. There are people out there that are like that. I feel sorry for them, but there are vegans too. I feel sorry for people that don't eat meat the same way I feel sorry for people that don't have any sexual appetite. But that's not for me to judge. I don't want to judge those people. But to your point, everybody is very sexual. It is a lot of fun. As much fun as it is, I don't even want to have that much fun in one day. Like I don't have time to do it. There's nothing productive about it. It's just like, hey, let's just go feel the need. It's really God's sleeping pill for me. That's what that is. Right before bed, you might have a minute, you go to sleep. It's not something that I go, you know what? I got 10 minutes between my doctor's appointment and a phone call I have to with my accountant. I should just go masturbate real quick. It never comes
up. I love he was protesting that it was average. It's four a day on average. Like somehow that was going to make it better and more digestible for us.
Last thing before we go, I just want to say RIP, rest in peace to pornography in Texas. Pornhub pulled their ability to operate in the great state of Texas.
Dear users.
They sent a note to everybody in Texas. Pornhub, as you may know, because they passed a law in Texas that said you can't look at any pornography unless we get your driver's license. Something Pierre Poilievre wanted to do up here in Canada. Remember that? He's like, yeah, we're gonna make sure everybody that goes to Pornhub or looks at any porn sites gives the government of Canada their driver's license first to make sure they're over 18. Well, Texas actually did that. Like 2 months after banning abortion in any form. Sweet nanny state. God, I love Christian nationalist freedom. It's incredible. So Pornhub, instead of taking people's private information, was like, ah, fuck it. We're just going to turn porn off in Texas. So they sent out a note to all the users. This is not something that happens. Dear, this is what happens if you log on to Pornhub in Texas. Dear users, you may know your elected officials in Texas are requiring us to verify your age before allowing you access to our website. Not only does this impinge on the rights of adults to access protected speech, it fails strict scrutiny by employing the least effective and yet almost most restrictive means of accomplishing the state's stated purpose. Texas's stated purpose of allegedly protecting minors, while safety and compliance are at the forefront of our mission, providing identification every time you want to visit an adult platform is not an effective solution for protecting users online, and in fact will put minors and your privacy at risk, because you're handing over your driver's license and all your personal information to a third-party advertiser, so which is, in this case, the state of Texas.
Which is, kind of a anti-freedom thing, no?
No, it's 100% anti-freedom. They've taken the freedom of surfing the net for porn away from people in Texas. Very, very free state. It's the freest country in the world. And to that point, might happen here in Canada too if Pierre Poilievre gets it.
I have a feeling that because there was like a week where that was the story.
Yeah.
I have a strong suspicious feeling, Dean, that may not come up again. Because it was very I don't know, it wasn't received well, is the sense that I got.
No, the fact that they floated it up here, you mean?
Yeah, I don't think the right, like the conservatives, benefit from pushing at it. I don't think
when they saw Pierre Poilievre said that, they're like, they probably called him on his bat phone and they're like, hey, listen, I watch a lot of gangbang porn
here. Just walk away from this one, PP.
Yeah. Just pretend you never said it, dude. Because I have scores of threesome porn and MILF porn on my computer. PP's like, me too. So I gotta do something. I got way over my skis for all the religious people. I'm really, really sorry. Yeah, thanks. Because I'm a subscribing member to Pornhub, PP. So I want my subscription.
I try not to subscribe to any of the channels on there.
Yeah, it's a good idea. It's a good idea. It's a data point you don't want someone having on you. And by the way, if you do want to surf porn and you are in Texas, just get a VPN.
Yeah.
Be able to figure it out.
Well, and that's just it. That's the other thing that is so ridiculous about it. There's so many ways around it, and they're not going to stop all of it. So why are you holding Pornhub ransom? Because they're the most visited site, right?
Yep.
That's all that is. So it's just, and again, you could fight that. How easy would that be to fight?
Super easy. But you thought the abortion ban would be super easy to fight in court too, and that's still a thing, right? They'll throw all the money behind it.
That's a good point.
Free America.
All right. Everybody.
Thanks a lot. Great to see you, Lachlan Cross. At Lachlan Cross on Twitter is where you can find him. He is also at Crier Media. Check them out there. You can also subscribe to the Locker Room webpage so you can get all the old Locker Room stuff. You can get all the current stuff as YouTube. Well. Locker Room YouTube page, Locker Room merch page as well. It's got a couple of sweet shirts up there, including Save Lachlan Cross. If you'd like to buy one, I suggest you do so because all that money goes to him.
My drinking bill. Can I say this one more time quickly too about the Ardent Roof Systems? The Locker Room brought to you by Ardent Roof Systems here in the Edmonton area. Yeah. If you need your roof done or you got repairs or something that happened over the winter, give Stacy and the guys a call and the gang a call. But they've got the golf tournament coming up on July 5th, which is a Friday at the Ranch Golf and Country Club. If you're looking for any information about this, go to the webpage ardentroofsystems.com. I'll be hosting it. We're trying to talk Dean into coming out to play. There'll be prizes, tons of prizes, silent auction. It's one of the premier golf tournaments, charity golf tournaments in the city. And on top of that, it helps out an unbelievable cause, the Stollery Child Life Program. And actually, next week, we got Stacy coming on the show on Friday, so we'll chat with him about it. But next week, Dean... Stacy and I are going down to the Stollery to actually do an interview with representatives from the hospital. And also, we're also going to show everyone what the money that he has raised over the last 5 years has gone towards.
Yeah, so, it's a big golf tournament he does every year, premier golf tournament in the city of Edmonton, Ardent Roof Systems Golf Tournament, and it's for Stollery Children's Hospital Life Experience, as you said, or Life.
It's Child Life Program.
Stollery Child Life Program. They made like a little beach inside the hospital for the kids. So they can kind of go down and kick around the sand. This is what he does. Yeah. And the only gentleman I've ever met who's had bacterial meningitis three times dude is spinal. One of the
spinal
meningitis.
Yes, wow. When he was a kid, he had it three times.
Yeah,
and he had open brain surgery. In the Children's Hospital in Ontario. I forget what area he's from, but
Chio, he's from Ottawa. Yeah.
Ottawa.
No, dude, he's a great guy. It's a great golf tournament. Ardent Roofing Systems, go to their website. You can check it out. Check out their golf tournament as well. Lachlan Cross will be your host. Thanks, dude. Really appreciate it. Thanks for coming in again.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon. Lachlan Cross as well, brought to you by our friends at CanTorque out of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada as well. Colin and his crew make rugged, hardworking torque wrenches, the best in the world for heavy industry around the world, and they're manufactured out of Canada. Nobody does that except for my man, Mr. Colin Livingston and his group at CanTorque. They've been doing it with unparalleled expertise for the past 20 years, making industrial torque wrenches, rugged, hardworking tools that nobody else in the world can make. All your solutions under one roof for heavy industry, railroad, machinery, nuclear, it doesn't matter what you need these torque wrenches for. They are designed with you in mind and with industry in mind that cannot find solutions for bolting. There's some bolting, loosening, fastening solutions out there that they just don't make tools for. So they make those for you. And they've been doing it for 20 years, unparalleled expertise. Every solution tailored to meet your specific requirements, and they've got distribution opportunities as well. Check out all their products for your torque bolting solution needs at cantorque.com. You can check out all their services, news about their podcast is there as well, Talking Torque. Colin's great. His company's great. He's got a great group of people. Super proud to be Canadian. They put a little maple leaf on all their torque tools, so go to cantorque.com for more information today. As always, brought to you by Gitch, the best underwear in the world, made in Canada for Canadians by Canadians. Gitch3 is your promo code, Gitch, and then the number 3. Go to edsfineimports.com. Order them. Use Gitch3. That is your promo code, and you'll get a free pair of underwear when you buy 3 or more, also 15% off when you give them your address. On the way out, they won't spam you either, and they've got a massive online store, clothing for men and boys, footwear, accessories, ton of different brands, but these underwear are where it's at, I swear to God. Everybody that I've turned on to Gitch is only buying Gitch now from Ed's Fine Imports, and they love that free pair they get as well with promo code Gitch3, so you can do the same. Bunch of different colors, barely there fabric, super breathable, pouch in the front. They have redefined the pouched boxer brief game. And that's what Canadians do for Canadians. They're going to share this with people around the world. So go to edsfineimports.com, order your free pair online, use promo code GITCH3 at checkout, an extra 15% off when you give them your email address as well. And, of course, brought to you by our friends at factcheck.io. Do you believe? Not a lot of people do anymore. That's why FactCheck is here, a group of journalists, group of evolutionary psychologists, data scientists, that have the ability to make sure that you can trust what you're reading, seeing, and consuming online. It is a problem, and nobody seems to be able to find a solution. I've used their beta test program, which you can sign up for right now, factcheck.io, factcheck.io, and you can test it. It's bizarre. It's bizarre that no one's done this before, and it's bizarre that these solutions were available and right there for us the whole time. Makes you kind of wonder if certain media outlets didn't want people to have these solutions, wanted to continue to obfuscate, wanted to continue to feed you bad information, because it's not that hard to find origin, to find sentiment, and to find a lie. And we've been able to do that, and the good people at factcheck.io are on the tip, if you will. Don't get weird. Don't get weird because I said tip. But they're vanguards of information and disinformation. Fact Check is a disinformation killer. Social media, URLs, pictures, videos, it's the Shazam of fact checking. So check them out today. Join their beta testing program. Become a verified fact checker before they launch their software, which is all ready to go. Factcheck.io. FactCheck.io. Have a great day, everybody. Appreciate you being part of the show. Thanks for spending time with us. We'll be back tomorrow. And of course, Thursday with Brianna Brown, who was in a cult for like 26 years, Christian cult. I have some experience in that regard. Anyway, we'll see her on Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks to Lachlan Cross for joining us. Thanks to all of our partners and friends for being part of this. And thank you for spending a little bit of time with us today. I really appreciate it, no matter where you were. Don't forget, you can rate, subscribe, and review everything we do on our YouTube channels, Cryer Media YouTube, Dean Blundell Show YouTube channel as well. You can get us wherever you get our socials, Cryer Media socials. Cryer.co is where you can find all of us. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, SayTheDamnScore.com.
I'm Andrea Askowitz.
And I'm Allison Langer. And we are the hosts of Writing Class Radio, a podcast, but we are so much more. We have writing classes. So if you are looking for live online classes where you can join a community, write to a prompt, get feedback, and get better, check out all our classes at writingclassradio.com.
And listen to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts and at writingclassradio.com.